Nobody understands hockey like the folks at Grain Belt Beer. They know hockey isn't just a game you play. It's a sport you pour your heart into. That's because every batch of Grain Belt Beer is brewed from the heart with Minnesota-made ingredients and crisp water from the state of hockey. So go ahead, crack an ice-cold Grain Belt Beer and pour your heart into the game. Whether you're an armchair general manager or a Zamboni enthusiast, the friendly beer is here with the assist.
Welcome back to War Seats in the House. Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, thanks to Trampled by Turtle. And as usual, I'll be heading down to Red Wing, or I guess Welch, Minnesota this weekend, actually, to go watch Trampled by Turtles at TI. I cannot wait. Really fun. Another thing I can't wait for, breaking news, September 27th at Elsie's, 7 p.m., Elsie's in Northeast Minneapolis. Anthony and I will be doing a live show down there, 7 p.m., come on down. The address for Elsie's, I probably should have had this up. First, I'll give you the beer specials. The beer specials, which are the most important thing, $3 premium and $3 Northeast pints all day. 2-for-1 premium and Northeast pints during the live podcast. That's 2-for-1 Northeast pints and premium during the live podcast. So really excited by that about that, Anthony.
We like to challenge ourselves with some of those games and
We bowled once in Dallas. Remember that? The only thing, they were life-size bubble bowl. Remember you and Greenlay?
That's true. Yeah, that wasn't really bowling. That was more, what would you call those things? They were like, whatever it was, I lost to Greenlay. I almost got knocked into next week in that one of those big like human bubble deals. Yeah, that was at the backyard bar down there that had had like life-size Jenga, and we played beer pong with like big ab balls and like 20-gallon garbage cans that you'd throw. It was actually one of our favorite spots, but it's since closed down.
I'm excited about the live show though.
It'll be great to see the fans. We experienced a little bit of this a couple of weeks ago at Kowalski's, and now to be able to go down and you know, Elsie's a cool spot in Northeast Minneapolis. I've been there many times. It'll be a great location for it, and it'll just be fun to, as we approach the season, to get a chance to chat with some of the fans, some of the listeners, and you know, we can always pick up a few pointers from them along the way, a couple of their ideas for the upcoming season that we can share with the coaching staff, you know, like what's wrong with the power play, why don't they shoot more, all that kind of stuff. It'll be great.
Yep, when's Kaprizov going to sign, that stuff like that. September 27th, 7 p.m., 729 Marshall Street, Northeast.
Not signed yet?
Yeah, they do, believe it or not. We said this, we predicted this on last week's show, that we'd start this podcast off by talking about why he still hasn't signed, and we'll do that in a second. But again, 729 Marshall Street Northeast, that's Elsie's, 7 p.m. Next week as well. Very, very excited. Well, not next week, because it's in technically 2 weeks, right? About 12 days from today. And again, beer specials, $3 premium and Northeast pints all day, but 2-for-1 premium and Northeast pints during that live podcast. Anthony is coming to us from Target Field today. Somebody asked, what's Anthony grilling tonight? And most importantly, what wine is being paired? I assume you're not doing that in the press box at Target Field, Anthony?
No grilling tonight. I've got the final game of the series between the Twins and the Indians. So I had the pregame show tonight, completed my regular post-pregame routine, jumped on one of the scooters, buzzed over to Lund's to grab a couple meatballs, some raspberries, and a cup of coffee, then walk back to Target Field. I get back about the top of the second inning or so, watch the game, and then do the post-game. So this is the last game of this series for me, and it's been a busy stretch for the Twins. Just as a quick side note, I mean, the middle of a homestand, they go to New York for a one-game makeup game and then fly back to play a doubleheader the next day here. I mean, this is, it's kind of life in 2020, 2021, yeah. where it's like everything that everybody always used to say, that, you know, well, we could never do this. We can't make teams do this. Now it's like, you know, you look at the way the NHL was rescheduling games last year during the pandemic, and it's like, even though the pandemic really didn't have anything to do with these, they were so willing to just reschedule games because it became so normal the year before, where the Twins game that got rained out in New York to necessitate this, they called the night before. It wound up like, I don't even think it rained in New York the next day. They played the day after that, but they just said, nope, we're gonna cancel this game. And, you know, I mean, they were calling games early in the season, basically just on a whim, it seems sometimes, and figuring, well, we'll just schedule it on an off day later in the year. And so this is the second time in 3 weeks that the Twins had to, in the middle of a homestand in between series, fly somewhere else on the day off to play and then fly back. It's, you know, hopefully we don't have to deal with that in the NHL this year like we did last year with the, I mean, remember when those schedules would get revamped and it would be, all right, well, these three games got canceled, so we rescheduled 9 games to make it fit. I mean, it's almost bizarre when you think back to what we were dealing with.
Well, I certainly hope not, because I've already booked my trips through November, so and was about to begin December when we started this podcast. So that would be an absolute disaster if all of a sudden I'm in the middle
of a
trip.
Well, we do have to have a conversation about that, because I just booked a couple commercial flights so that Margo could join us on the Vancouver-Seattle trip. And, you know, I got to figure out how to get her from Vancouver to Seattle. So I was assuming maybe she could just catch a ride with you and make it down there. So
yeah,
I hope your flights are refundable.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely flying back. I'll tell you, down to Seattle, but she can get on my flight. That's for sure. You know, the cool trip that we got, I believe, is, I think we're spending a couple days in Tampa after the game, so that'll be kind of neat.
Really? Because we've got back-to-backs down there first, where I was kind of thinking, boy, that's too bad. We won't get an off day in Florida.
Nope. We believe we do. So that's pretty. We'll spend less time in Newark, that's for sure. So rookie camp started today, and we'll talk about that. Marco Rossi, Matt Boldy, Adam Beckman, Kalen Addison, so many guys on the ice today. You know, the way it is in things like this, they all look great. You know, the one guy that looks huge to me from the stands is Adam Beckman. I'm really looking forward to seeing if he could maybe push to get games this year, or maybe even make the team. Obviously, we know the Wild have 2 or 3 roster spots. Boldy looked great. Rossi looked great and healthy. Rossi was just sniping pucks left and right. He had one rush down the right wing where he sort of looked off the guy coming down on the left wing. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Mitchell Chafee, and just sniped one low blocker coming down the right wing from the right circle. And it just, I mean, it was a beauty. And got to sit and I relaunched my Straight from the Source podcast next week. I got to sit down with Rossi and Boldy today. And that was the biggest change that happened at rookie camp today, Anthony, is I actually sat down with two players in a room and face-to-face had a conversation.
I'm so looking forward to that. I haven't had a chance to get over there yet. I'm going to this weekend. And I've seen some things here lately that have been really – reason for optimism is not the right word, maybe just excitement. Like my buddy Chris Withers, who's the producer for the White Sox, who you were out with us in Vegas when we were doing football together last year. And he just had sent me a text saying they just got clearance. Now the White Sox are taking their broadcast back on the road starting, I think, this week, maybe. And, you know, even though there's only a couple weeks left in the baseball season, it's just exciting to see that kind of change happening, and makes it just feel a little bit more real. Because there's still something about this approach to this season that, and I've been trying to figure out why it feels so different. And I don't know if it's just because we didn't do this last year, so it's almost like you've forgotten what it felt like the lead up to a season, mm-hmm. or if it truly is something that's different. Cause it just, there's just something, and maybe it's cause you walk downtown and it's still kind of empty. I think I saw in the paper the other day, there's like 38% of the people are actually back to working in their offices downtown. So there's just something that feels different about this lead into the season from previous years. And each day it just seems like something is happening that makes it feel a little bit more like we'll be back to normal. And what you experienced today had to be a big step in that direction.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you know the way that I do my job. You just need that. I mean, tomorrow I'm going down there and I'm sitting down with Alex Goligoski for a big story. I've got a bunch of really cool stories in the works. By the way, Chris Withers is the one. Remember, we sat down in the center bar at the Cosmo and we got those signature drinks. And he's like, oh, yeah, take a bite out of this Szechuan flour. And then I swear to God, I thought I was going to keel over like I was poisoned. Remember how, like, it hit me differently than all of you?
Well, it bubbled in your mouth. Yeah, it wasn't really bubbled flour, was it?
Yeah, I think it was called a Szechuan flour or something.
It was some kind of a flour, but they said put it in your mouth and like, swish it around or move it around and then take a sip. And when it was crazy how it changed in flavor and the effect it had. And it almost felt like you'd thrown those old, what were those candies you had when it came
in your mouth and they kind of bubbled? Yeah, I forget that. Well, this one did more than
Pop Rocks. I think they were Pop Rocks.
Yeah, I thought my throat was closing.
That's kind of what this tasted like. And remember, we had it and none of us could peg what the alcohol was in the drink, except I think it was Vinny who said, I'm pretty sure it's tequila. And sure enough, it turned out that tequila was the spirit in this drink. But it was outstanding. And when we get back to Vegas, I'll stop in to have one of those for sure, just for old time's sake.
There was a huge, huge signing that I wrote about in Thursday's Athletic, Anthony. Joe O'Donnell, the new radio voice of the Minnesota Wild, but not the retirement of Bob Kurtz yet. Bob has signed on to do 22 home games this year. Joe will do the 44 road games, which includes the three preseason, and 22 home games as well. When it came down to the end, Bob Kurtz didn't want to retire outright. But he didn't want to travel anymore, probably because he was tired of you terrorizing him on the road, Anthony.
Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But first of all, two things come to mind. One is that I grew up in this town. I grew up listening to Bob Kurtz call North Star games and Twins games when I was a kid. And the voice is one of the most recognizable voices in the history of Minnesota sports on television and radio. And, you know, he's been with the Minnesota Wild from the very beginning. He should be congratulated on an unbelievable career. And I'm glad that it's not over, completely over. I mean, it's great that it works out for him to be able to continue to do some home games. And Joe O'Donnell, you know, what a quality young guy. I'm really happy for him. He's had a remarkable career path with some, you know, and I can relate, believe me. I mean, he and I talked about it a little bit when he was filling in on games a couple of years ago that, you know, the number of years that he's put in and has a young family and the sacrifices and the grind without like any guarantee that your path is going to lead you to the NHL or Major League Baseball or NBA, whatever your goal might be. It's very unlike people who, let's say they go to medical school or law school or something where you have a pretty good idea when you get out. Yes, it's a tremendous sacrifice and hard work and but once you get out, you know that you will now be a doctor or will now be a lawyer. And with broadcasting, it's very different. I mean, you have no idea. There are guys who are still calling minor league games or small college games or whatever that. And so for him to get this chance, I'm really excited for him. And, you know, he does a great job on the air. Fans are going to like him. He's accurate. He's well prepared. He's really a knowledgeable guy and works hard at what he does. So I think all that is exciting. And as far as me tormenting Bob, we did play a couple jokes on him over the years, but it was it wasn't like it was an every trip occurrence. We did play a couple good ones on him, and I suppose I could share one of my all time favorites was. Bob probably doesn't listen to the show anyway, but I still to this day don't know if he knows it was me. So
there's no way he knows it was you.
I don't think he does. So maybe I shouldn't tell it. Yeah, I will tell it. He's on it. I'll let it. He can try and get me back if he wants. So we had traveled from Philadelphia down to South Florida, and we got in at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're checking into our hotel in Fort Lauderdale, and Bob was, key cards were always like his nemesis. He could never get his key card in his hotel to work, in his hotel door to work. He'd be hammering away at this key, like, you know, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it just would never, he would like, I just miss keys. You know, I mean, he would, well, so this one night I happened to get off the elevator after he did. And so he's already in the hallway, you know, hammering away with this key card, and he had his suitcase sitting behind him in the hallway. And so as he's doing this, right as I happen to walk by, his door opens. So he goes inside. So I grabbed his suitcase and just put it on the other side of the hallway. All I was thinking would happen is that he'd have to come outside and the door would close behind him, and he'd have to go through this again with his key card. And it, as far as the joke goes, it worked out even better, because as I'm walking, so now I'm like 15 or 18 rooms down the hallway, I hear him come back out and his door closed behind him, and I kind of start chuckling to myself, and all of a sudden he loses it because he had left his key inside the room. So now he's, and Tom Reed, his partner, is a couple doors down. He said, "What's wrong, Bob?" And he says, "Well, somebody moved my suitcase to the other damn side of the hallway, and now my key's locked in." And so down to the lobby he goes, and I mean, you could hear him stomping and cussing, and it worked out a lot better than originally planned. But it was, you know, so now if you ever listen to our show, I guess you owe me one, but yeah, it was, he definitely does. That was good.
Yeah. Hey, I think he's not going on the road anymore because he's tired of sitting behind Gorg and Dan Myers for the most part. That's, I think, the biggest reason why. I sat down with Kurtz and O'Donnell together yesterday at Tom Reed's and for this story. And Kurtz told so many funny stories, but I never realized that he used to I guess Marco Scandella and Jared Spurgeon used to be the guys sitting in front of him. And he would tell them right away, "You can't put your seat back." And then Scandella would always do it. And he was the one that eventually was traded, so he always says that he got him traded. So it was one, congratulations to Bob. I'm glad that he'll still be around the team. He's a fun guy to chat with the press box. Cynical, funny, sarcastic, everything about him. And congratulations to Joe O'Donnell, who is the official new radio voice of the Wild with Bob Kurtz doing select games. Let's do this, Anthony. I just think it's funny that there's like half the people that are listening to this podcast right now are pissed off that we haven't talked about Kaprizov. So why don't we talk about something else before we get to Kaprizov? And that is Alex Hovanov, a prospect that did not show up to training camp today, rookie camp, not showing up to main camp either. Apparently he had a bunch of different obligations, visa and stuff that he had to get done on his side of the pond. Didn't get it done, so now he's going to be reporting to Iowa. So off to a bad start there for Hovanov.
Yeah, and I mean, this kind of stuff happens. And every time it happens, it blows me away that guys that are in this kind of spot with this kind of opportunity in their career, that they ever let it happen. And it's not only hockey. I mean, it happens in baseball with guys being late to spring training because they didn't get their paperwork done or their visas done. It always amazes me that guys with a chance to come and perform in front of the manager, the coach, the general manager, whatever, and that they ever leave anything to doubt. It just, and they've got agents that should know better. Every time it happens, it just absolutely amazes me.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, the way it was explained to me by his agent is that the embassies in Russia are pretty much closed, so that was part of the issue here. And the one thing his agent said is he's definitely reporting to Iowa, and hopefully he'll be back in the fold, because obviously, he's a talented kid, played well for Moncton, didn't have a great time in the KHL last year, wound up in the VHL, their junior league, essentially, with the team he was on, and hopefully he'll be back in the system. Let's do this. Let's don't go anywhere. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Kirill Kaprizov, but here's a word from Bosch Law Firm.
Hey, everyone. Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at workcompexperts.com.
Another Minnesota summer is winding down. We've had some brutal hot days and no telling what the fall will bring. Make sure your AC is working properly after the summer heat or get your furnace evaluated for the change of seasons. My advice, get a company you could trust that's Aquarius Home Services, and they are offering a combo tune-up for just $55 right now. A quality trained technician will come out, inspect both your furnace and your AC, and review all the details with you. The Aquarius team will treat your home like their own. They respect you, your time, and your home with the attention to the details that really make a difference, like being on time and cleaning up after themselves. I could attest to that. They come to my place all the time and do all the work that I need that I am absolutely incapable of doing. Aquarius believes in earning the right to be recommended. They're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com. And don't forget to mention that Russo sent to you. And here's a word from Minnesota Propane Association.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera. And did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy two heating systems when one propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy right now.
Back work seats in the house. Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta coming to you from Target Field. Reminder, September 27th, 7 p.m. at Elsie's. We'd love to see you come out for a live podcast out there. All right, we've made listeners wait long enough. Let's talk about Kirill Kaprizov. I had a story earlier this week, Anthony, and things are back to not going well. And nothing has changed in the couple days since I've talked to the wrote that story. The way I understand it is when I wrote the story, they hadn't talked in more than a week. I don't think that story spurred anything. They still haven't talked here in the last couple days. And it's just amazing to me, Anthony, that the money that I'm hearing they're offering this kid is $9 million a year on a five-year term. I talked to some agents the other night that are blown away from that. I talked to one agent who is a power agent in the game. It said, I would have taken a deal at 5x7. So the fact that the Wild have gotten up to 9 and it hasn't been done yet, you know, I've said it all along, it's insulting. Like you know, there is like if it were me by now, I would have pulled the contract. I know that's easier said than done because they need this kid. But man, I just cannot believe that we are at this point, that we are, 9 days till training camp. He's still going to have to quarantine. He's still going to have to get his work visa. He's still going to have to get a negative COVID test before he flies over here. The quarantine obviously would happen after. So we're at a point where if he signed right now, I don't think he'd be on the ice the first day of camp. That's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, obviously a talent like this could recover from something like that. But the fact that this continues to be a battle for no real understandable reason. And part of it is because we are really only getting one side of the story because he's not talking and his agent's not talking right now. It's really disconcerting.
It is. And it is easier said than done to pull the contract offer. But I also believe I haven't talked directly to agents, but before this started, if you would have told me Billy Guerin was going to come to $9 million a year on a five-year deal, I would have said you were crazy. I would have said there's no way he gives him $9 million a year on a five-year deal. I would have thought, similar to what your agent told you, that if it's 5 years, maybe $7 million. If you're willing to sign 6 years, we'll talk eight. If you're willing to sign the full term, we'll go nine. And maybe it had to bump it up a little bit from nine on an eight-year deal, but that's kind of where I thought it would end up. And so right now, I got to say, if I'm Billy Guerin, I think the ultimatum that I would give, and you know, he's a GM, I'm not, nor will I ever be, it might be, you know what? I've offered you $9 million a year on a five-year deal. It's what I offered you originally, only if you were willing to sign eight. I've come down to this. This offer is only on the table if you get your butt here in time for training camp.
Yeah.
So if you don't sign this in the next, what it would be, 24 hours probably, to have any chance to be on the ice when camp starts, then this offer is no longer valid.
Yeah.
And I think there has to be a point where, because the comment you made is like, look, you can't pull the offer because you have to figure out a way you need this kid. Well, you do, but you need him here. To have his have him be your property and not have him here doesn't do you any good. So we need you here. If you can get here by this date, the offer stands. If you can't, now we're talking $8 million on a 5-year deal. And if the worst case scenario, the guy says, I mean, there is a point where you can't cripple the organization by signing a deal that is exactly what the player wants. I mean, that Kaprizov looks like a tremendous player, but
yep.
You know, he does have 55 games in the NHL. And if I'm Billy Guerin, I think we've reached the point where it's dig in your heels time and swing the leverage back in your favor a little bit on this thing. I think the leverage in terms of the public opinion is already on his side. And I'm starting to fear that now you're getting close to the point where it has an impact inside the locker room when it's guys looking around saying, hey, who do you think you are, bud? I mean, we need here.
Yeah. I will say, I know that Wild players have been in touch with him. I don't know exactly what their feelings are. They're obviously all saying the company line, but I know they've been talking to him behind the scenes, and he's been sort of pinning it on his agent. But look, I mean, it's September 15th, Anthony. You can't pin it on your agent anymore. You've got to step in. You're the boss. And look, this is his third agent, essentially. He's been a headache for 5.5 years. This is
your
sort
agent
of the
works
MO.
For you.
Yeah, and look, it's really interesting because $9 million a year after 55 games, that makes him a top 9 winger in the NHL. And I talked to somebody the other today that I really respect that said, I can't believe that they're willing to do that on a left winger, that normally a right winger would be more valuable than a left winger on that. And that's just wingers as a whole. That's one. But the other thing is Sean Shapiro, Corey Promen, and I at The Athletic, we're working on this goalie tier project together. So in the last like week, I've talked to probably 50 GM scouts, former goalies, directors of player development, assistant GMs, and inevitably on every single phone conversation, this comes up. They all ask me about Kaprizov. You know, I was at Octagon camp last week, and all these NHL players were coming up to me asking about him and just amazed that gone so pear-shaped and you know, feel that he feel, you know, they feel, and it's easier said than done, these are big time players, that he's entitled and that this is just a bad precedent for him to set. But the reality is, like, one GM told me point blank that $9 million on a short term deal is, quote, robbery. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, once you walk down that path, even if Billy Guerin, as you said, pulls it back, it's really hard to take it all back. I mean, you know, once you've walked it down to that price, it's hard. But it's become a contentious issue. There's a wedge here that has been driven between the two sides. It could obviously be made up. I've covered lots of contract disputes that get eventually rectified and all that stuff. But look, there's some issues here that have been created that is just a real shame when you consider how last season ended and how all the goodwill and the excitement of this kid and all that stuff. And here we are. After a cup of coffee in the NHL, and he's being offered an insane amount of money, the biggest contract in NHL history for the fewest number of games, and yet it's still not done. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, but I think all that's true, and I just think that I keep coming back to, well, two points, really. One is that I think Billy Guerin has negotiated in good faith throughout this. He has definitely compromised as much as you could possibly realistically expect a general manager to do so. And for the player to stand back and blame the agent at this point, I mean, I always hate it when players say, this is my agent doing this. That's crap. Your agent works.
And again, I should say that. I should say 100% to interrupt you there is that this is told to me in hearsay. I don't know that to be true. It's told to me. Yep. So,
but you know what I'm saying. I mean, players will always just stand back and say, hey, this is my agent doing it. He's the one handling this, not me.
And yeah, it's the way that I blame my editor for everything and our producer on this podcast for all the mistakes.
Exactly. And that's, people have known that about you for years.
Yeah.
But the reality is, no matter what, no matter if you're hearing it here or not, I mean, this is the player has the power to go to the agent and say, take the best deal that they have and let's go, because I need to be there for the start of training camp. And if you're a true team first guy, that's what you do. And he hasn't done this. And I think that's a disappointing thing to see from a guy that certainly looked like he was a beloved teammate, everybody talked about how hard he worked, about how quality of a guy he was. And all right, well then step up right now and say, what's best for the team is that I get this deal done and get it done now.
Yeah.
And let's see if he does.
I remember sitting in LA when Ryan Hartman signed, and obviously two very, very different players, but Ryan Hartman took a pay cut to re-sign here. I mean, that, an extension. That's just crazy to me because he was just tired of moving around. Marcus Foligno said, all right, I'll take less money than I could get in free agency and no signing bonuses to stay here. And obviously it's different things. It's different types of players and all this stuff, but it's just – it's just unreal that they're in a position here where they've waited 5.5 years. He came, he was up to the way that everything was advertised. He delivered, wins the Calder, and yet they're offering him essentially Braden Point money, and it's still not getting done.
Right.
I would pull it. It's an absolute insult that it's not a done deal now.
And I wouldn't dismiss the things that you were just talking about with the fact that these other guys are in a different spot. I would actually say that makes what they did even more impressive.
Right.
Because these guys aren't talking about contracts that are your family is set for generations to come, like the Kaprizov offer was. If Kaprizov signs the Wild's offer, Kaprizov's grandchildren's grandchildren will be set for life. And the deal that Ryan Hartman signed doesn't do that. The deal that Foligno signs doesn't do that. So I actually think that puts these guys in even a better spot, because these guys are like, look, we're doing this because we believe in what's going on here. We like it here, whatever the reason. Bottom line is it's something more than just my individual checking account. And Kaprizov certainly appears to be a guy that's making decisions based on one thing and one thing only. Which also brings into question, I think, when, we've talked so many times about, once a guy signs the big deal, you don't know how it's going to affect the person, the player, mm-hmm. in the locker room, work ethic, all that kind of stuff. And, we've said, look, we don't know for sure, but I find it hard to believe that Joel Eriksson Ek changes as a human in any way, shape, or form after the contract he signed, that Jared Spurgeon was going to change in any way after the contract he signed. I know that there's been some talk. In the Wild aren't the only ones. There are guys around the league who have wondered what happens to Kevin Fiala when he signs the big deal. Well, I think this starts to bring some questions to mind that what happens to Kirill Kaprizov if he signs this big deal? I mean, if the negotiations are this selfish in nature, is that really the type of guy that you thought he was that would be the guy that, hey, he just looks hungry, looks like a hard worker, looks like a guy that you'd like to build your team around? Maybe he's not. I really think that the way this has been handled has to at least put a few seeds of doubt, if not like legit doubt that's growing. I think there's at least a reason to start to wonder about what's inside this guy.
Well, it certainly will put the pressure on him. I mean, he's got to come back here and be an absolute superstar. And it's that simple. I mean, he's got to. He wants to be paid that way, then you better be that guy. And you better be that guy, not against Arizona and Anaheim, but against Tampa Bay and Boston when you start playing actual real teams on an every game basis and not the teams that he lit up last season. And so, Anaheim, actually, I think he only had one goal against, but he had a point a game. You get my drift here is that, look, we haven't seen it. Look, this guy is a stud. I was just watching NHL Network, and they've just played your, Kirill Curl the Thrill is the real deal after his game-winning goal on opening night, and he absolutely showed that. But we haven't seen him play a full 82-game schedule, which he's never played in his entire life, against 32 NHL franchises, some of which are the absolute elite of the elite that he didn't get to see this past season. So it's really that simple, which brings me to my next topic, and it's a topic that we're going to hear a lot here as long as he remains unsigned, Anthony. I'm getting tons of Twitter questions that are wanting to know, do you think that the Wild, you know, here's just a great one here. Buffalo offers Eichel for the rights to Kaprizov. Who says no at this point? Now, don't think that that type of stuff has not been bantied around in that Wild locker room, in that Wild front office. I mean, I guarantee you at a minimum, they've discussed stuff like this. To answer that question, by the way, I assume Buffalo would say no because if he's not signing in Minnesota, I don't think he's signing forever in Buffalo. But the reality is, is there a point where Billy Guerin says, you know what, do they start calling Vancouver and say, Kaprizov and this Pettersson? Do you start calling teams like LA and say, Byfield? You know, when do you think there comes a point where Billy Guerin, or do you think there comes a point where Billy Guerin actually considers moving the kid?
I think that point has already arrived. I mean, I think you have to at least listen. And if somebody blows you away with a deal, I would have said this is probably the only commodity that the Wild possessed that would have been untradeable. Now, I don't think that's the case anymore. And, you know, to answer the first question you asked, Buffalo says no first because yeah. Buffalo has said they want four pieces for Jack Eichel, so they're not going to do it for an unsigned Kirill Kaprizov. But if for some reason they just said, hey, let's roll the dice and see if we can get this kid, I mean, I don't, how would you not? I mean, you clearly make that deal right now. But, you know, I think you've reached that point where I don't know that if I'm Bill Guerin, I don't know if I'm proactively calling teams yet. But if other teams start to call, I'm for sure at least open to consider. I mean, well, who knows? I mean, there's always a price where every player is tradable. And I'd say the price, or at least the willingness to consider the price, has arrived.
No doubt about that. I think that I think it would pain Bill to do it, but I think you know, Bill's getting fed up. Where at a minimum, you got to at least start to investigate stuff like this. And look, this is contract disputes. They happen all the time. Guys like Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are still unsigned, although I think a lot of it is waiting for Kaprizov to see what number he comes in at. Guys like Robert Thomas, Rasmus Dahlin. Brady Tkachuk still unsigned as well. So the Wild are not the only ones, as Bill Guerin keeps on pointing out, but I can tell you that it is just a lot of frustration and disappointment inside the organization from a management standpoint, I'm sure an ownership standpoint, that they are at this position where they've treated this guy like God for 5 years, waited on him, supported him overseas, funded him with sticks and things like that, which they certainly didn't have to do when he was not coming over here, and yet here they are in this situation. It's really, really unfortunate, and hopefully it gets done soon and he comes here and is the same Kaprizov that we saw this past season.
And what we know for a fact is that you are never one to exaggerate the dire nature of any situation. So
let me just promise you that if I'm the only thing that I'm doing in this situation is under exaggerating. like, let me tell you, there's a lot of frustration inside the organization.
No, I know. And so I'm just saying, because we've always known you to be the guy that never overreacts to anything, that, you know, if you're saying that this is the contentious nature of this, that fans should heed your warnings.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about. Let's just throw out a couple other things that I'm working on right now. I'm working on the Goligoski story. We're talking about the A's and things like that. Dewar and Duhame are two guys that are not in camp right now. Have a chance to make the team. Anthony as well. You know, Kalen Addison has cut his hair. He looked good today in rookie camp. Any guys that you're looking forward to really watching on the ice come camp?
Well, the obvious ones are Rossi and Boldy. Boldy, I guess I'll say over Rossi, just because I really want to see if the glimpse that we saw of him in Iowa last year is, with the numbers and everything would tell you that we're looking at a guy that means he should be ready to contribute in the NHL. And if he's ready to contribute in the NHL, I think the Wild have got something going and have got a lineup that could be very competitive in the Western Conference, for sure in the Central Division this year. So he's probably the guy I'm most interested to see. But Kalen Addison, I think, might be number two on that list, only because I think he's got a chance. The Wild depth defensemen that they added this year don't bring anything that like what Kalen Addison can bring. And, you know, is he good enough? Does he show enough to warrant being a guy who is, you know, a third pair, a 5-6-7 D man that, like, hey, we can use this guy on the power play. And even if he's not playing the big minutes that a top four guy could play, he could be playing big minutes on extra attacker situations. And because none of those other defensemen, the 5-6-7 guys, are capable of what he's capable of offensively. So I'd be curious to see that. And, you know, I'm always interested to see some of the younger prospects, even the guys that have come out of the more recent drafts, just to get a look at them not face to face, but see them when in comparison to the Rossies and Boldies and just see how different they look. So I always think that's a real interesting exercise and a big reason why it's exciting to see these kind of camps.
Yeah, a lot of their 2021 guys are in town. Obviously, Wallstedt's not. Lambos look good today. A lot of those second, third round picks and beyond look great as well. I wanted to tell everybody about my friends over at Profile. It's that time of year again. Summer is almost over. In fact, I was watching Ian Leonard on Fox 9 the other night, and he says that the fall actually starts on September 1 in his mind. But the kids are back in school. Now's the time to finally do something for yourself. Maybe you're thinking it's time to get back on track with your health. Well, Profile can help. They have a variety of plans to fit any budget, and Profile really, really works. Trust me, I've lost a ton of weight, and I feel fantastic. Profile has helped me, and they can absolutely help you too. So what are you waiting for? Set up a free, no-obligation consultation today. You'll be glad you did. Visit profileplan.com/TwinCities for more details. Use promo code RUSSO and save $100 off your Profile membership. That's profileplan.com/TwinCities. Anthony, tell us about Kowalski's.
Well, what I'll tell you about Kowalski's is we had a great dinner the other night. And if you remember the night we did the grill off in the parking lot, Troy there came out and he had a big production for his fillets, and he had the fresh herbs, he had garlic. But what he also had was their hand-rolled butter. And as he unwrapped it, I said, "What in the world is that?" And he said, "This is the best butter that you can buy. It's hand-rolled, made by the Amish." And so I was making steaks and scallops the other night for Sunday dinner, and I decided I like to use a little bit of butter for kind of a brown butter crust on the scallops. So I went to find this butter. I found it in the butter section, grabbed it, and I'm telling you, I don't know if it was I didn't prepare them any differently than I've prepared scallops before, but they turned out awesome. So I can only assume that this butter had something to do with it. It was, I'm telling you, they were the best scallops I've ever made. And I've made a lot of different types, and we've had a few guests who have said it's some of the favorite stuff that I've made for them. These were just kind of a simple brown butter seared scallop with some fresh basil and garlic in there. And they were awesome. So check it out. That's one of the things I'd recommend. You can always count on the best meat, the best fish. It's fresh and it's always high quality. This particular night we had the Akaushi strips because they looked the best that night. But try the hand rolled butter. It comes in a tube that I don't know what you'd call it. It's kind of about the size of like a Chipotle burrito maybe, and it's that shape. And it's awesome stuff. So check it out. If you're going to entertain, if you're going to have great meals, you got to start with the best ingredients. And for that, Kowalski's is the only place to go.
That's a lot of butter. And editorial note, if you're joining Profile, skip that butter. But Chris Lindahl
has told me. We just used a little bit, but I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Yeah, go for the margarine, though. But Chris Lindahl has told me many, many, many times that people should feel a lot more confident in putting their home on the market this summer. That's because Chris Lindahl Real Estate's Guaranteed Offer Program gives you confidence that you're getting great value, that the experience will be incredibly convenient, and that you'll be able to bid on homes that other buyers can't even see. That's because with Chris Lindahl's Real Estate, you get market rate value for your home, 90 full days to close, and access to off-market inventory that only he has. So call Chris Lindahl Real Estate today at 763-401-SOLD. or go to chrislindahl.com to request a no-obligation guaranteed offer on your home. Let's go to some Twitter questions. This one I've gotten a couple weeks in a row, Anthony. I know you're a big fan of Russo's slacks. So T-Deuce, I think was his name on Twitter, asks, question for the pod, how many times have you two met, meaning me and Slacks? How do you know one another? And what's the best Slacks moment that you can recall? And all I can tell you is I've only met him once. If I bumped into him tomorrow, I wouldn't know it's him. I don't know how long I've known him, because I think he just stalks me when I'm walking down the street. But he's kind of funny.
Well, he must not be a great stalker if you've only seen him once.
Well, I mean, I could have seen him like 50,000 times. And, about 10 years ago, I get to Seattle, I get to baggage claim, and my cousin, who I'd never really met, she comes up to me and she goes, "Hey, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Russo's filter." And I didn't know she was coming to the airport. I thought it was Russo's filter. Like she had me hook, line, and sink the actual Russo's filter. It turned out to be my cousin though. Anyway, let's go on. I got a bunch of Twitter questions here. Offseason is a bummer. Offseason is a bummer. What a great Twitter name. Kind of is. How has Kevin Fiala handled the team-elected arbitration? Did he see one-year extension as a slap in the face, or does he still want to be here long-term? Those are all questions that we'll get on day one of training camp when we get him. We haven't talked to him since he signed his deal. But Anthony, I mean, look, he's a human being. I don't care what he says on day one of training camp. He could not have been happy the way that, you know, that he had to sign the one-year deal. Especially when he sees Eriksson-Ek getting eight and then Kaprizov getting offered the world and it's still not done.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But, you know, I mean, this is to me, I'd always view it as a bet on yourself kind of situation for Fiala. All right, go out and prove everybody wrong. Go out and have a monster season and let your action speak for itself. And I think Fiala has a little bit of that in him. Just, I get the sense mm-hmm. that he's wired a little bit that way, where it's the, you know, I don't like hearing that I don't work hard or that I turn too many pucks over or that there's some aspect of my game that I don't bring enough. And, you know, all right, well then go out and prove everybody wrong. Go out and have a 34 goal season where you are an unstoppable force like he was for the Wild down the stretch in 2020. And we saw just short spurts of it last year. And I think he's capable of a lot more than he's shown so far. And now it's your chance to go out and show it. And if you show it, having this one-year deal this year will have been the smartest decision you ever made, because you'll be able to command much more in the next negotiation.
Absolutely. Let's see. Somebody asked if there's going to be a road to the Winter Classic. There's going to be something like that, I believe. That's something the league was supposed to talk about last week, actually. Wild Boys 59 asks, what team did both of you hate the most growing up, Anthony? What team, as a rabid Minnesota sports fan, did you guys hate?
Well, I think it was, for me, and I'm not really sure why, I loved the rivals that the North Stars had. And there were they were in a couple different divisions during my youth, I guess. And for a while they were in the Adams division with the Bruins and the Sabres. But then for most of my childhood and most of their time, they were in with like the Blackhawks, the Blues, and the Red Wings. And for some reason, I just never liked the Red Wings. I always liked the Blackhawks and loved the game. The rivalry was great, but I loved Dennis Savard. I liked their uniforms. I loved the atmosphere in their building. I loved listening to Pat Foley do games. I mean, it was just, I liked the Blackhawks, and I always liked the old Blue Note jerseys. So it wasn't them. And Toronto was in that division for a while. And, you know, they didn't really move the needle much for me. For whatever reason, the Red Wings were the team in the division that I just didn't like. I kind of always hoped that everybody else finished ahead of them.
Yeah, I really didn't have any team that I liked. I was a huge Expos fan growing up, so I didn't love going to Shea Stadium and having Mets fans like throw stuff at me. Didn't love that. I was like 10 years old getting like beer thrown at me because I was wearing an Expos stuff, but that's about it. You know, it's funny because, Anthony, I don't know if you feel this way, but like I've been a sports writer so long. I started at 15 years old as a sports writer, so I've had no fandom, like no fandom. I do not have a favorite sports team in any league. And I think it's because I've been a sports writer so long where you're supposed to be objective and you're not a sports fan. Like obviously I'm a sports fan, but I'm not a fan of any team, not one. I don't know if you've felt that. Is it different for you?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I was a fan of the Minnesota teams when I was growing up, as I know you were. I mean, I know you were a, you know, New York fan and stuff, and you were an Islanders fan, and I was a North Star fan. I was a big Vikings fan when I was a kid. I've always been a Twins fan. And I think what has changed it for me is that, yeah, I think there is a little bit there. You lose a little bit of the awe for pro athletes. Like for me, I'm more awed by musicians than I am by pro athletes. Where I think you're just around them all the time and you're around them every day. But the other thing I'll say about me specifically is that since I started coaching and I'm an assistant coach of a high school football team, it's not like I'm, you know, my career is coaching or anything, but there I have an impact on whether or not we win on Friday night. And I think since I started doing that, I realized that with my job, I mean, I'd prefer to see the Twins win every night because it's more fun to cover a team that's winning. I'd prefer to see the Wild win every night because it's more fun to be with the team when they win. But I don't have any impact on whether or not either of those things happen. So you kind of just get into a routine where I want to have the best show we can have, and it's exciting, and the arenas are full, and I get excited when the Wild play well because it means that fans are more into it, and the arena is going to be more exciting, and the guys are going to be happier when you walk on the plane or into the locker room. And so for all of those reasons, like, yeah, I'd prefer to see them win every night. But the difference is that, like, and you know who actually told me a story similar to this was Tom Curvers. The first year he had gotten out of playing and he had taken a broadcasting job with the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. And he said they were in the playoffs and they had two buses. And he said, I was on the media bus. And all I could think about as we were rolling from the hotel to the arena was, I want to be on that bus instead where I've got an impact on whether we win or lose. And he said, I knew right then that as much as I was enjoying broadcasting, that I had to get into it on the team side. And so for me, I've always told people, like, I have the best of both worlds. I have this little drive to a little part of my being that gets those competitive juices flowing and satisfies that need to compete with coaching high school football. And yet at the same time, I get to have my job, which is covering the greatest athletes in the world in their respective sports and going, you know, traveling to the best cities in North America, seeing games in the best arenas and all of that. So I think that's why you probably feel the same way, why you're saying, like, you don't get that kind of passion that, like, I would never put on a team jersey to go to a game ever. I mean, I don't think I really ever did as a kid either, but like I would never throw on a Twins jersey to come to a Twins game. And, you know, when I go to the games, I find myself just watching them more as like a guy who's entertained by the game itself rather than like living and dying with either side.
You just reminded me of when I was like 18 years old and I was covering an FSU football game against like North Carolina or something. And Craig Barnes, the Sun Sentinel FSU writer at the time, I came to help him up there in Tallahassee. And he looks at me, he goes, are you wearing a Syracuse hat? I'm like, yeah. He goes, what are you, an idiot? You know, like, it was like I was wearing another college's hat on my head to go cover like a game. I was like, what an idiot I am. So that's always whenever I have a kid shadow me at a game, I'm like, whatever you do, do not wear another team's sports jersey or the Wild's jersey or anything. A couple other things here. By the way, you know, a couple other things we haven't talked about is Mikko Koivu is going to be around the Wild in a limited fashion, you know, helping out during rookie camp, training camp, and he's going to have a role with the team. They're going to honor him this year as well, maybe even retire his jersey, we'll see, but he's going to be around the team. Team will go from Chicago, the final exhibition game, to Duluth up for about 3 days, have a little R&R. That'll be kind of neat as well. Couple other questions before we wrap up the show here. Sports Crunch asks, do sports writers have to confirm stories before reporting? As most typical journalists, are they expected to do so? Yes. I mean, you know, look, the old adage is second source everything. I mean, sometimes it always depends on who your source is, but I'm real cognizant of making sure I get it right before putting it out there. That's why I was down in Atlanta the other day, Anthony, and, you know, some journalists that we know up here tweeted out, like, breaking, you know, Kirill Kaprizov close to agreeing a deal and flying over here, according to some unnamed Russian source, and I text them right away. It's like, look, I'm going to have to publicly refute this. Like, this is not accurate. Trust me, he is not close to signing, and he is not flying here on Monday. He's not even allowed to fly here on Monday. And, you know, this is just type of stuff that you got to be careful of as a journalist, and I think all journalists need to be careful that way.
Well, without a doubt, and that's why I'm really selective with who I even read. I mean, you know, you guys ridicule me for how few people I follow on these social media outlets and social media platforms. And that's exactly why. Like, I couldn't care less what some clown thinks over here. Like, I only want to read it if it's like what I read in the newspapers in town. I trust that they've reported that responsibly. What I read on The Athletic with you or any of most of the other hockey writers that I will read throughout there, if it shows up there, I got a pretty good idea that they've done their due diligence on it. And I couldn't care any less what other people think about some of this stuff. I mean, now part of it too is you're in a different spot than me. You've got to make sure that when and if this happens, that you know it pretty close to as soon as anybody else. Where what for me, I really need to know whether or not Kirill Kaprizov is signed on October 14th when the Wild open this. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter to me. So I don't have to be like, who's going to ask me? My friends on the golf course and say, hey, is Kaprizov signed yet? And how did you not know about it? Well, I mean, I don't care.
Speaking of which, somebody asked me, Josh goes, where was Anthony during a 7:28 tee time this morning at Eagle Valley? Did you guess a tee time?
No, I canceled it. I did. I had a tee time originally, but I canceled it because actually I was supposed to play at Southview with my brother. He pulled the plug on that. So Vinny and I went and played at Loggers Trail before he started work and before I had to shift gears to Totino Grace football practice and Minnesota Twins mode. So I did manage to get some golf in today at Loggers Trail.
Jake Warren says, are there any stretch of games you guys are most excited about for this upcoming season? I just booked the first half. I am looking forward. We're in Seattle a month apart twice. That is going to be really neat. I am looking forward to that. I was actually Googling the other day, coffee shop, like tours. So Anthony, we got something to do the day before the games. We got a coffee shop tour. Well, we could go up to Everett and go to the Boeing factory. Be fun.
So we've got plenty of things to do there. I've got number one is I've been to Seattle a number of times when the Twins would travel there. And there is one of my top four steakhouses in America is in Seattle, the Metropolitan. I'm confident that will be on our schedule on one of these trips for sure. And remember, Margo has two brothers that live out there. So they've got some, we've had tremendous recommendations on every visit out there, and they'll have some good spots for us to go for certain. But we will be going to the Metropolitan for, I'm assuming that they're, you know, back to normal and back to open again. So I'm looking forward to that trip, and that's the second trip of the year is Vancouver, Seattle, and then Denver. And unfortunately for me, the Denver trip is always fun because it's a chance for me to catch up with AJ. But AJ won't be there because he'll be in Minneapolis for Charlie Miller's wedding that day. So I'm disappointed to miss that. But I'm also looking forward to the trip right before the Olympic break, We've got a New York-Chicago trip that I'm excited about that looks to me, I can't imagine we'd come home in between. I haven't looked, I guess, at a wild travel schedule yet, but I would assume that we would wind up with a couple off nights in Chicago, which would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'll tell you real quick. I'll find it. I'm looking forward to the Olympic break.
We go to New York to play the Rangers on a Friday, and then maybe we would come home, I guess, because I don't think, or we play the Rangers on Friday, the Islanders on Sunday, and then play the Blackhawks Wednesday. So, you know, you'd have possibly a Monday and Tuesday off in Chicago, and maybe they'd fly home Sunday night and then turn around and fly back Tuesday to Chicago. I don't know.
But yeah, they are. Yeah. I just looked. They are
doing that.
Yep.
And so even with that, though, we're going to end up with two off nights in New York and one off night in Chicago, basically on the same trip. And that should be a lot of fun.
I'm kind of surprised they're doing that. Hopefully I'm on it. I might be in China by then. Who knows? Hey, this was a fun show, if not a little downtrodden here, because we're still – somebody just – here's a great one. Who's going to be more excited to sign the deal, Kirill or Russo? That's a good one. I think Kirill will be a little happier just because of the money, but I'll be happier because I won't have to see any more questions. I just can't wait till it's done. It'll just be so nice. It's just, you know, you just feel like you're constantly on call. It's just nuts to me that this thing is not done. Last question. Somebody asked, how's TG looking?
Oh, it's been a slow start for the Eagles. We've lost our first two games. We've got some work to do. We're starting to get healthy. And actually, I walked off the field at practice today. We're getting ready. We play Centennial on Friday night, who's always – we've had some great games with them over the last few years. But I turned to our defensive coordinator and I said, you know, this is the first time I've looked out and thought, you know what, we've got some athletes on this team, because it's the first time we've kind of had them all on the field at the same time. And so when our offense was running plays against us, it was like, we got pretty good players on both sides here at the skill spots. I think we're going to get there. This is the toughest schedule we've ever had in a season. And it's, you know, so we've got a lot of work to do, but it's a great group of kids, and we're going to hopefully we get to a spot where we can at least be competitive with some good teams at the end of the year. And I think we had a chance to do that.
Awesome. September 27th, 7 p.m. Elsie's downtown, actually northeast Minneapolis, right by my old condo down there. Please come out. I think you'll enjoy it. Beer specials as well with premium minorities, 2-for-1s. You get to meet
Anthony
LaPanta.
And have a bowl off with Russo.
Yeah, you can have a bowl off with Russo. Anthony will come on a scooter.
I might.
You probably will. I do wonder sometimes before a Twins game how many people are driving to the game and be like, is that Anthony LaPanta on a scooter right now?
I do hear. I get a few shouts each night when I'm buzzing over there, and it's I get it. I mean, it's a strange time because it's right before first pitch. So I mean, it's a lot of people are like, "Hey, wait, isn't the game starting right now?" And yeah, I just got done with the pregame, so I answer that question a few times each night.
Oh man, that's funny. Well, thanks to our sponsors, Bosch Law Firm, Aquarius Home Services, your local authorized dealer for Connecticut water treatments, Minnesota Propane Association, Profile by Sanford, Kowalski's, Chris Lindahl. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Brandon, I don't really blame everything on you. Don't worry about it. So much coming out, there's nothing going in. I know that you feel like you're never going to win. Oh, but the world won't forgive a winner. I could bowl. I once broke 100.